Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here again. And I want to start by asking a question. I asked the brother I was with driving up here. I hope the ride wasn't too long. I know it was pretty rough traffic. But we made it. And pray for those that are still coming. But I asked this brother I was with. I said, what do you expect to get from this conference? And actually, it's the same question I asked myself earlier in the week. I was preparing to come up here. What am I going to get from this conference? Another college conference. Gather together. It's what we do. We have conferences. Blending. See one another. So, you know, he shared some things. Very positive. Very good. I had the same, you know, little thought. But, you know what really, I would say, the overall burden of this message and likely of the whole conference is we're not here just to have a conference, do our Christian duty, gather together. Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling together. Here we are. But every day, not just here, but every day, we should be seeking the speaking of God.
Amen.
God, are you speaking? Are you speaking to me? Because we'll see, God speaking in our Christian life is everything. Actually, God speaking in your human life, that's the meaning of your human life, is to have God speaking. So here we are, you know, and just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we're all here. We've given up some things, and maybe we're still in the process of giving up some things. Here we are. But I hope we could have a prayer in us this week. Lord, I'm here. I want to hear your word. I really want to hear your word. There should be this kind of prayer in us. Maybe you haven't heard his word in quite a while. Maybe you're not sure what the word is. What is it to hear his word? So here we are again. Lord, may you speak to us personally, corporately. This is my prayer this week, this weekend. And I was freshly impressed coming to this first message. If you all could open up to message one and read the title together for message one. Ready, go. Christ, the eternal word of God. And how many times I've read the book of John, and there are a number of verses from the book of John, chapter one, in this sharing. That's critical to Christ being the word of God. But what touched me is that I was remembering something I read, that this sentence, Paul's quest, Paul's living was a quest to know Christ. Paul's living was a quest to know Christ. So here I am, Christ, the eternal word of God. I know that. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. Brothers and sisters, is it fresh to us that my being here is part of my quest to know Christ? And apart from knowing him as the eternal word of God, there is a huge, it's everything. You need to see him as the eternal word of God. Even the title of this conference is Christ, the living word of God. We sang it in that really sweet song. But Christ here in message one is the eternal word of God. So why is that so important? Well, God is actually very mysterious, is he not? You know, some people, they like to talk about God. They don't really know anything about God, but they like to talk about God. What is God? God is this, God is that. Do you think God likes to be mysterious? Does he like being unknown? Does he like people thinking God is this, God is that? Actually, God's heart's desire is to be known. He wants to be unveiled and declared to man, even to the whole universe. So God is a God. How else could he unveil himself? How else could he reveal what is in his heart? You know, like, I forgot to put something in my pocket, but it's in my pocket now. Something is in my pocket, but I'm not going to say anything about it. You need to guess what it is. What's in my pocket, Andres?
Coin.
What's in my pocket, Robin? Pen? Jeremiah? That's outside my pocket, but close. What? Anybody want to stab a guess?
A Bible.
No, not a Bible. Good guesses, all very good guesses. But you're all wrong. You're not even close. So is this what God likes? People stabbing guesses? God must be, God's this, God's that, God's this. Oh, God is the trees. God is whatever. But what if I begin to talk about what's in my pocket? What is mysterious? What is hidden? What is concealed? It's hidden in a mystery. You know what Christ is in Colossians? He's the mystery of God. God is a mystery. Isn't God a mystery? God is a mystery. So we want to know God. Well, how do we know God unless there's the speaking? There's the speaking. So if I was to tell you that what's in my pocket is a metal cylinder with a little glass tip at the end, and it makes a clicking sound, and it's got, and whenever it makes that clicking sound, light shines out. Are you beginning to get a thought of what it is? It needs a power source. It's a flashlight. Now you see what it is. See? Now it's revealed. Because I spoke. It was so easy with the word, with the speaking, all the mysteries unveiled. The best way to make something clear is to speak. The best way to be mysterious is to be silent. You know, I mean, isn't that true? If somebody's silent, you might think they're a genius because they don't speak. Right? You think, wow, man, he must be really smart. He's nodding. And once they open their mouth, you're like, whoa, why was I wrong? Or maybe they post everything on social media or Twitter and you're just like, ooh, what's in that guy? What's in that girl? Right? Once you begin to speak, you're exposed. Everything about you, your heart, what's in your inward parts, it's revealed. So our speaking is the best way to be known. It's also, if you're silent, that's the best way to be mysterious and unknown. And your thoughts and your heart and what's concealed in you is not known. God, this is not God's heart. Brothers and sisters, God wants to be known. Amen. He wants to be revealed in such a sweet way. So before man, God spoke. Before man, God spoke. And God spoke, you know what he spoke to? He spoke to nothing. God just spoke. And what did he say? In Genesis, you should know these verses, right? God said, let there be light. Let there be, let there be. He just spoke and it was. He spoke and he spoke. And his speaking called not being as being. And actually, we'll see some verses. We'll get into some verses in just a second. So in the Old Testament, so now you come to the Old Testament. God's speaking before man. Now man is here. And God is speaking. How does he speak? How does he speak? Well, he speaks through men. He speaks to men and he speaks through men. Right? This is how God is revealing himself. So let's look at these verses on your sheet. And I'm actually going to add a few verses. So if you look on the left of the outline, there's some verses there. And so I'm just going to add a verse. I just want you to write this reference down. I hope you have your pen. For all these messages, I hope you could write down some things in the notes section. It's always good. I know we have incredible craniums up there, but if you could just write some notes to remember points that were spoken, verses that were mentioned, write them down, even references. I'm going to reference a number of verses, but if we could write them down, give you some fellowship in your cabin times, it could be really beneficial to develop the Lord's speaking this weekend. So Second Peter 1:21. Now I'll read the verse. You can look it up if you'd like, but just write it down. 2 Peter 1:21, and you could write this word born, B-O-R-N-E, born. And the verse is this: for no prophecy was ever born by the will of man, but men spoke from God while being born by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy was ever born by the will of man, but men spoke from God while being born by the Holy Spirit. So you might, and you know, this is actually something, this kind of thought has been going back and forth, you know, the validity of the Bible. But I would just say this: men spoke from God while being born of the Holy Spirit. It's actually not that complicated to comprehend. When you use the example, like, how could God speak through a man through a prophet, through Moses, through this writer and that writer. Well, when you think about a cell phone, right, a cell phone has a receiver. And if my wife was to call and you heard her voice, no one here would say that that receiver is speaking. That is the voice of the cell phone. Nobody would say that. Right? You wouldn't. You would know, oh, that's the voice of a sister who happens to be my wife that is speaking. It's not the cell phone that's speaking. So when men spoke from God while being born, it's not they that were speaking, but God spoke through them. And when you read the Bible, you realize, regardless of what man says, regardless what people talk about in your religious studies classes, men spoke from God. It was not their word. It was God passing through them. They were the receiver. But that was God's word. That was God's word. And it unveiled something of God. That was in the Old Testament. So men spoke from God while being born of the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, we have this verse in your sheet, Hebrews 1:2. Could we all read Hebrews 1:2? Has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the universe. So actually, this verse in Hebrews is awesome. And actually, I want to add, I'll add something else. I'll have you write in. But I just want to focus on this. How does God speak in the New Testament? God speaks in the Son. He speaks in the Son, in the person of the Son. So before that time, before the New Testament came, God spoke through men. And they were born by the Spirit. But they heard the voice of God. And they knew it was God. They knew it wasn't Isaiah. They knew it wasn't this one. But they knew it was God speaking. They knew God's voice. So when Jesus came, who was the embodiment of God, they realized, those that were attentive realized, that's the voice I've been hearing. If you've been hearing God speaking throughout the centuries in the Old Testament and listening to God's voice, attentive to his speaking, when God appears in human form in the flesh, you would recognize that as the Word. If my wife comes in and you've been hearing her on the cell phone, you've been hearing her voice, you're familiar with her voice. When she comes in and starts speaking, you would say, yeah, it's her. That's the one we've been listening to. This is the result of the Bible. It conveys God to you. You know, even in the Old Testament, they had some experience of this. And then when they contacted him in the New Testament, all they knew was, God, this is, wow, this is what I've been hearing this. This is what I've been tasting. And this, I would say the same experience for us today. God speaking to you should not be something foreign. What is it like? I don't know. When you hear God speaking, you know it's God speaking. Because you touch the person that's been speaking. And you can't separate the voice, God speaking, from the person. God speaks himself. God speaks Son. Even in fact, there's no definite article in the Greek in Hebrews. It actually says, literally, God speaks Son. He's the last of these days spoken to us in Son. That's God's vocabulary. Okay. So good to have the Bible as a speaking story. The speaking story. And I just want to share one, a negative backdrop to God speaking. The Bible being a history of God speaking. God speaking is just to unveil himself. He speaks things not being as being, and he speaks himself into man, and he speaks. Eventually, his being there was God speaking. But there's also a negative, a downside, or a negative history in among the children of Israel that we do not want to be our experience, and that's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. I just want to just read these verses, or at least read this verse, this phrase in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, the word of God was rare in those days. The word of God was rare. You know, there was a point in time of my life where the word of God was rare. I got saved when I was probably 10 or 11, raised in a Christian home. I believed into Jesus. I was baptized shortly after. My parents read the Bible to me. I read the Bible. But there was a period of time in my life that is characterized by darkness because the word of God was rare. It was rare in those days. And those are days of depression. of seeking satisfaction but not finding it, of just being stirred up and being thirsty and thirsty and no enjoyment. That's the negative side. So I think we've all tasted this to some degree. We don't want, nobody here should have this experience of the Word of God being rare. It should be fresh and living in our experience. So let's come to Roman number 1. Can we all read Roman number 1 together? The eternal Word. So how about sisters? Could you read on the verses, John 1, 1? And then the brothers could read 2, and then we could all together read 3. So sisters, read John 1, 1. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ is the eternal Word. The Word is self-existing without beginning. You know, Hebrews 7:3, it says that having no beginning. So it's a little confusing in John 1:1. He was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. What was the in the beginning? This in the beginning is different from Genesis 1, which says, in the beginning, God created. You could say, now I know that eternity doesn't have two ends. Eternity is eternity. But for the sake of understanding God's move in man, God is eternity. God is eternal. In fact, there's a verse that says in Psalm 90, verse 2, I'll read it to you. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, and before you gave birth to the earth and the world, indeed, from eternity to eternity, you are God. So from eternity to eternity. So putting your understanding of math and logic aside, you have eternity past and eternity future. You have eternity. And between eternity, there's a bridge of time. So Genesis 1:1 is in the beginning, God created. That's the beginning of time. But this here in John 1:1 is in the beginning before there was a beginning. That was eternity in the beginning. And that's why Hebrews 7 says, having no beginning. This is John 1:1. And then it's very clear that this Word is God and was with God. And then in case we're wondering, okay, maybe at a certain point the Word became. It was not, but now it was. Some people dissect the Trinity. It's very, you know, the Trinity is not simple. The Trinity is amen. God is triune. Amen. That's the Trinity. Well, some people dissect it. There's, in fact, a large group, they don't believe that Christ is God. So this is a huge heresy, but that's why John wrote verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. So let there be no confusion. The Word, which was God and with God and was in the beginning with God. The Word and God are inseparable. They are inseparable. So, okay, how about A? Let's read A. John 1:1 says that the Word was in the beginning. This reveals that the Word is eternal. Sisters B.
The Word is Christ's definition, explanation, and expression of God.
Amen. The Word is Christ as the definition. So Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. You know, to say that Christ is not the Word is a huge heresy. Christ is the Word of God. First of all, it clearly says, if you read those verses, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then look at verse 14. Let's all read that together. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. The Word became flesh. Is not flesh, is that not Jesus Christ? The Word, which was God, became flesh. The Word is Christ. Christ is the Word. And I would say, not just who is the Word is Christ. What is Christ? Christ is the Word. Why is He called the Word? Why is he called the Word? Christ is the Word. From eternity, Christ is the Word. Why is he the Word? He's the Word because God is a speaking God. And when he speaks the Word. And the Word is the definition, explanation, and expression of God. It defines God. Apart from the Word, God is unknown. God is mysterious. God is like the flashlight in my pocket that you do not know anything about without me explaining it to you, defining it to you in these terms. So the Word is Christ. The Word, and see, the Word was always with God and always had God in him. He was never separate from God. You cannot separate the Word from God. Now, I'm not strictly speaking about the Bible. When you think the Word, a lot of times we think Bible. And God speaks Bible. We need the Bible. But there is something here that we need to see concerning Christ, that he is the Word of God. He is the speaking of God. God speaks. And through his speaking, he created the universe. In fact, the universe was framed in Hebrews 11. The universe was framed by the Word of God. The universe was framed by the Word of God. So God's Word has a special element here. It's not just that he comes to be incarnated and that he speaks some words, but actually God himself, he is mysterious, and the way he unveils himself is through the Word, because he speaks, because he's a speaking God. This is his function. This is how he creates. This is how he unveils himself, is through his speaking. So I wanted to read a verse to you in Hebrews. Now we have Hebrews 1:2. I like to read Hebrews 1:1. And just, I know you don't have time to write it down, but I would like you to write this sentence, part of 1:1. God, it's God, comma, having spoken. You could just write that much. God, comma, having spoken. And then continue, of old in many portions. God having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways. So God having spoken in many portions and in many ways. So what is the Word of God? When you have the Word of God, you have the message of God. And when the message of God comes, you have the messenger. You know, this is, you know, when I would write letters to my wife, when we were, you know, courting, and when I eventually was married, whenever I was gone for a couple of days, I'd write her a postcard if it was like quick enough for that postcard to get to her. And I would write her a little something, and then she would, you know, receive it. And that was something that was in my heart. And it wasn't all, you know, it was sometimes funny, or I'd just write a little something or a picture, tell her where I was. It was something of me, but I never came with it. It was a message, but it didn't bring the messenger. But this is not how this is not how God speaks. When the Word reaches you, when the Word comes to you, he comes with the messenger. The message conveys the messenger. That's what's so important about him being the Word. You don't just receive a thought or a speaking, but actually this message brings the messenger. The Word never comes apart from Christ. Christ never comes apart from the Word, because the Word and Christ are one. Actually, God is the Word. And Christ's deity is eternal and absolute. From eternity past to eternity future, he is with God and he is God. Really appreciate, you know, a number of these verses. Again, from eternity to eternity, you are God. Amen. 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 Why don't we just go to Roman numeral 2? Why don't we read Roman numeral 2 together? Amen. Amen. The creation came into being through the Word. This is a marvelous point. I want you to write Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 1 through 3. Just write that reference down. Psalm 19, 1 through 3. You know, when Christ speaks, Because he's the Word. When God speaks, he speaks the Word. And the Word is really it's the essence of his person. And so when he speaks, actually the Bible says that he upholds and bears all things by the word of his power. And when he created the universe, because Christ is the power of God, Christ is the speaking of God. When God speaks, he speaks the word, which brings not being as being, the characteristics of God were manifested in creation. So I'll read these verses to you. And you can also write Romans 1, 19 through 20. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night tells out knowledge. There is no speech, and there are no words. Their voice is not heard. The heavens declare. The heavens are speaking. The firmament proclaims the work of his hands. How does the firmament speak? How does the heavens declare? Right? Well, because God, when he created by speaking, he spoke the word. Christ is the power of God to create. Therefore, the characteristics of God was manifested in creation. So Romans 1:19 through 20. This says, because that which is known of God is manifest within them. For God manifested it to them. Speaking about the unbelievers, the people in this age. For the invisible things of him, both his eternal power and divine characteristics, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being perceived by the things made, so that they would be without excuse. Because the creation came into being through the word, God did not just want a beautiful creation. I want everybody to have a good time at Yosemite. So I'm going to make sure that I'm going to cleave Half Dome, have glaciers cut through it, Grand Canyon split, Colorado, you know, whatever our thought is. Actually, the creation was spoken. Christ was the power. Christ was the active element in creating. And so these characteristics, God wants creation to speak. Man is without excuse because creation is speaking all the time. It's testifying all the time. It's declaring all the time that there is God. There is God. And that's why all people, they love nature. Most people love nature. And they go out and they don't realize that the reason they love nature, they love creation. You love sunsets, right? You love to enjoy a waterfall, a butterfly. All these things of creation are because God is speaking. And God made man as the receiver to receive him. And the way he gets into man is through God's speaking. And so creation is speaking all the time, testifying all the time. The firmament proclaims the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech. So don't listen to the lie that man has an excuse. Nobody ever preached the gospel. Actually, creation speaks Christ. It speaks Christ. They don't, not in clear words, but it defines characteristics of God and testifies this is what God is like. There was a brother who was an unbeliever. He testified, he went camping, and he was sleeping on a rock. There was a group of young kids he was with, and he slept toward the cliff so that they wouldn't wander at night and get hurt. And he was out there all by himself as an unbeliever, and he looked up, and he said it was like glitter was thrown on the sky. He was not a believer, but he just testified. His testimony was, when I looked at those stars, I knew there was God. There must be a God. And he said, I must have a destiny that lines up with that God. And later on, when he got saved, he said, I didn't get saved at that point, but I recognized God's presence was there. As an unbeliever. Because creation was pouring forth speech. And all he could tell was, there is a God. The beauty of creation, the wonder of creation testifies of God. And I just want to highlight a few of these points, because this is actually, let's read A altogether. God's creation, there was no labor, only speaking. There was no labor. There was only speaking. I'll read these verses. By the word of Jehovah, the heavens were made and all their host, by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. He commanded and it stood. So God did no labor. He just spoke. He spoke. And I'll read one. Through Christ is the word, all things came into being. That's John 1:3. All things came into being which have come into being. And apart from him, Christ as the word, not one thing came into being which has come into being. Everything of the created universe testifies there is a God. And I just want to highlight a few things. In the greatness of the universe, you see the greatness of God. The expanse, I mean, how far, how large is the universe? How large is the ocean? You could be on a cruise liner, and it's like a city on the ocean. And yet, it's nothing. It's hidden. It's not hidden. It's swallowed up by the vastness of the ocean. This manifests the greatness of God. The wonder of God. The stars, the galaxies, the planets, the rotations. There's like, I mean, they haven't exactly counted. You go year by year, it increases. Like something like 40 billion galaxies or solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy. Like 40 billion solar systems in the galaxy, Milky Way. And then there's like 50 plus billion galaxies. I mean, you can't even wrap your mind around that. That testifies there is a God. Amen. He is a God of wonder. He's speaking through that. He's speaking through the brightness of the universe, through the sun, the moon, the stars, light. God is constantly speaking. It pours forth speech. The beauty. I love, you know, recently I've just been enjoying sunsets, probably because of the pollution, but it's beautiful. I was riding my bike to school at 5:15, and the sunset, you know. Oh, and it was beautiful. I was just riding, just like looking ahead, but wow. You know, just purple and pink. Beautiful. How could somebody not believe there's a God of beauty? I mean, that was enjoyable. God is the God of wisdom. This is the universe pouring forth speech. So apart from Christ is the word, nothing has existence. Now, I really appreciate the Lord speaking. In B. How about we all read B together?
Amen, Lord.
So I hope we're clear. God creates by speaking. And he just simply speaks and it is. He spoke and it was. This is God. He was mysterious, unknown. He speaks through the prophets. They're clear. And he speaks in many portions and in many ways. You know, apart from the clear speaking of God, I'm just so happy that there are so many portions and so many ways of God speaking. But all of this is so that he could come and make his home in your heart. All of this is that he could beget something in you, just like he created light by speaking. He wants to create a new creation. And he did it. He created new creation. How did he do it? By molding, by working, by laboring. How did he do it? By speaking. He speaks. The principle is the same. He created the universe by speaking through his word. He speaks in the new creation. What is the new creation? The new creation is the old creation. That's us. That's man apart from God. With God added. Now God gets in man. And now you have the new creation. And that's what really matters. The new creation is what matters. But how does he get new creation? Well, let's read one. Every all together. We must become men of the new creation. So according to our concept, this takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to become a man of the new creation. You could even say a man of God or a God-man. You were man apart from God, and then one day God gets in man, and now God is new, so man is part of the new creation. A marvelous fact, truth. New creation has been created. How does this happen? It doesn't require a lot of work. Actually, it just requires speaking. God's speaking. And so a prime example of this is Saul of Tarsus. You know the story of Saul of Tarsus, his conversion? He was ravaging the church, Christians at that time. Jews that meant most of them were Jews that had believed into Christ, into Jesus. They had been regenerated to become the believers of Christ as the body of Christ. And they were there, and Saul of Tarsus, as a good Jew, a God-worshipping Jew, was persecuting these believers. And one day, God appeared. And what did he do? He spoke. God spoke. And Paul, when he recounts his conversion in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, he actually speaks this concerning God shining. And I want you to listen. Listen to this. See if you can catch an Old Testament verse. Because the God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine. Does that sound like a verse you might sing? Out of darkness, light shall shine is the one who shined in our hearts. Out of darkness, light shall shine. He's quoting Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light. God spoke and it was. So actually the new creation was here, how was it affected? How did it happen? It happened through God speaking. God spoke and it was. He called not being as being. Paul was an opposer, less than the least, and God spoke. And without Paul doing anything, Paul had no labor involved. Paul didn't have to do anything. God speaking affected a change. 180 degrees, just like that. And Paul was caught. Paul was wrecked. You read the account. Saul, who became Paul, he was crazy. He couldn't stop speaking. He was like a child that went to Disneyland. He saw something. He just couldn't stop speaking about it. He was talking so much in Jerusalem, they got him to Damascus. And then eventually, he's causing trouble. They were going to kill him, so he got lowered out of a basket. He just couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Because God spoke to him. Instantly, he was new creation. And there was no time factor, time element. Well, something has to be worked out in him. He's got to get the truth. Let's make sure he... No, actually, God speaking created new creation. And instantly, he was flowing forth, pouring forth. This is what happens with the Word. We need to realize that the new creation is not a matter of our labor. It's a matter of God's speaking. God speaks, and it was. Amen. When God speaks, life gets imparted. And we should not look at the outward situation. We should not be concerned about what we see outwardly. Actually, that's how God operates. He loves to look at impossible cases. And we say, no way, impossible. Lord, you don't know about this one. Or you don't know the kind of campus I'm on. Actually, that's how God operates. He loves to go to the ones that are the hardest. That's you and me. And he speaks a word. And we are astounded. We're surprised. What happened to me? God spoke and it was. He called not being as being. You know, I want to testify a few things. Have you ever been on the gospel? Talking to somebody and they have no interest? No thought? You're talking to them and inwardly you're just like, this is a hopeless case. I don't know how to end this conversation. I've had that experience. There's a brother here in this room who was an unbeliever. And he wanted nothing to do with God. And in fact, he was opposing. They'd say this, and they were preaching the gospel to him. And he was like, just science, science, science. And eventually, the brother who was speaking, there was two of them there, he realized, I don't know that much about science. And, you know, I can't get involved in that realm. But if I keep talking to him, if I just keep speaking, something's going to happen. I'm just going to keep talking to him. and speaking to him. Christ, as the Word, would speak into him. You know what happened? That man became a brother. Amen. He got saved. Amen. He's here in this room. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God called not being as being. Amen. Through some simple brothers who just spoke. And they recognized that God as the Word speaks. And when he speaks, he calls not being as being. And eventually, Christ as the Word, he got infused and transfused into that person, that vessel who was just standing there. And eventually, he became a believer without any labor, without any effort, just because God's Word was spoken. You know, when I was in college, I had a job and I was working, and I had a coworker who happened to be my boss. He was an atheist, a very worldly atheist. And he loved to contest with people. He would read up on science and all these things. And, he would just joke and mock. And, I mean, the whole bit. This was this guy. And he was like 6'3 and bodybuilder, so he could say what he wanted. But you know what? I was burdened for him. So I was praying for him. And toward the end of my working with this guy... We built up a friendship, a relationship. You know, we'd go out and do things together. We'd go fishing. And eventually, you know, he knew I was going to a Bible school. I told him I'm graduating and I'm going to go to this Bible school. And he knew I was a Christian. So he kind of stopped mocking me a little bit. But he did, actually. He stopped. But you know what? One time we were having lunch and I just spoke to him. And I just spoke being. I spoke not being as being. I just spoke the Word of Christ. And I just was speaking to him, and I just knew I'm going to the West Coast for a while, and I don't know if I'm going to see him in a regular way. So I just spoke to him, and I spoke to him. By the end of our conversation, he said, "Lord, come into my heart."
Amen.
Shocking. I did not think it was going to end that way. But I just spoke the Word. It wasn't me. It wasn't my eloquence. I was convincing him from this angle and that angle. God speaks, and when he speaks, you can do nothing about it. His speaking infuses him into you. And when God's Word comes to you, even through creation, you could try to argue and say, "I don't believe it, I don't believe it." Actually, everybody wants God. Haggai 2:7, write that verse down. Haggai 2:7. I love this verse. It says, "I will shake all the nations." Now, you don't have to write the verse down. Just write the reference. "And the desire of the nations will come." The desire. Everybody seeks peace. Everybody wants to have solace. They want to have enjoyment, satisfaction. They want to have, you know, beauty of creation. The stars are speaking Christ. Speaking God. They're declaring God. But they need God defined because they don't know what God is. They just know there is God. Okay, there's a God. I'm convinced. I call myself an atheist, but I can't deny the fact that there is God. But I want to justify my living, so I say there's no God. So I don't need to be living by any kind of standards. But ultimately, what they seek, the satisfaction they seek, the enjoyment they seek, everything they seek, that they seek Christ, who's the desire of all the nations. That is a wonderful bit of ammo I hope you would store in your being. That no matter what somebody looks like, they're pursuing that, pursuing that, they seek Christ. Man seeks Christ. Creation is backing you up, speaking all the time. And if you have something of the Word, you just speak and you realize it's not me, but God's Word speaks not being as being. And eventually, through your Word, through the Word of Christ, something will come into being which was not, which did not exist. And recently I had an experience of preaching the gospel and similar, you know, talking to this one, and it's awesome. This should be commonplace to us, where you just speak. Right? And God calls not being as being. This should strengthen and confirm our faith. Whenever we take the Word, something not being comes into being. Don't believe the outward situation. You know, I also want to share something from my personal experience of this matter of the Word not being as being. Don't believe your situation. Don't believe your history. Don't believe, you know, I could never, you know, do this. I can never do that. There are some things that I just like too much. Actually, my experience is when I began to spend time in the Word, spend time in the Bible, spend time in the Word, God's speaking came little by little, like a trickle, little by little. And God's Word, remember, it calls not being as being. And God's speaking did something in me. It did something in me that I never thought it would do. It created something in me, even beyond my intention. An enjoyment, a real satisfaction in the Word. I'm not spreading this as a law, like you need to love the Bible. But I wasn't always a lover of the Bible. But the more I read the Bible and the Word came in, it brought something into being. I love the Word. I treasure the Word. I want more of the Word. So don't look at your situation and say, you know what, this, I can't do that, I can't. God calls not being as being. Amen. We're here because God calls not being as being. This is God's speaking. So just in the last few minutes here, Roman numeral 3, let's all read Roman numeral 3 together. Amen. Life is in the Word. That's what's so marvelous when God's speaking comes. When the Word comes to you, it brings life. It conveys life every time. Every time. You cannot receive the Word without receiving life. And you cannot receive life apart from the Word. You need the Word, which is Christ, defining God. You know, there was a brother who, he was an evangelist. He preached the gospel many times, and he shared this in his testimony. I really appreciated this. It was very, very encouraging. He says, more than 100 times, he even kind of counted, more than 100 times, I have seen unbelievers receive eternal life simply by reading one verse. More than 100 times, just get him to read the Bible. Get him to read the Word of God. Maybe have a little conversation over that one verse. Just one verse, one word can bring the seed of life into someone. Life is in the Word. And the very Christ, this is an awesome point, brothers and sisters, point 4. The very Christ who was the Word was incarnated for our
enjoyment.
Let's all say that again. For our
enjoyment.
One more time. For our
enjoyment.
It's so good. Enjoyment. So as the Word before his incarnation, Christ was mysterious. However, when he was incarnated, he became so real to us. Wasn't the Lord Jesus enjoyable? Wasn't it good? The disciples are with them. They just were enjoying him. He was enjoyable. I don't think it was a chore to be with Jesus. You know, he's going to teach me this, lecture me this, don't do that, do this. What are you doing? Stop doing that. But he was enjoyable. The Word was enjoyable because the Word was embodied in a person who defined and explained and expressed God. And so wherever he was, that was God speaking, and that was so good, so enjoyable. I don't know what your experience is in the Word, but you need to realize the Word of God is enjoyable. It is full of enjoyment. He was incarnated so we could enjoy him. You know, before he was incarnated, he couldn't be touchable. He couldn't be contactable. He couldn't be adequately expressed. He needed to come as a man in incarnation, so that the Word could be contactable, experiential, receivable, enjoyable. So we know these verses in John. The Word became, and it came full of grace and reality. So how about sisters read one? Enjoyed him. Brothers, two.
Grace is God enjoyed by man, and reality is God realized by man.
Amen. In that enjoyment. Amen. Enjoyment. Grace is God enjoyed by man, and reality is God realized by man in that enjoyment. You know, when you have when you have the word, you can have God speaking. And God speaking is always enjoyable. And because the word is constant, the word is eternal. Christ is the word is speaking. When you have his word, it doesn't change. It doesn't stop. He will keep speaking. Maybe you have a personal word to you. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you this weekend. A personal word. He's speaking. We need to respond to that word. We need to even exercise to converse with the Lord concerning what he's speaking to you. Ultimately, what God wants is to bring you into the enjoyment of grace. Amen. The word is enjoyable. Again, I don't know what our experience is of the word. Is the word enjoyable to you? Is the word full of grace and reality? Grace is God enjoyed. Reality is God obtained. Weren't we made? Aren't we as human beings, as vessels? Weren't we made to contain God? To be filled with God? To enjoy God? You know, man apart from God does not have genuine enjoyment. Genuine satisfaction. It may look like somebody outside that has moments of excitement and just hoorah, and here we are, maybe not so exciting. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's in your thought. I had that thought. I could never just sit there and enjoy the Lord. But if you have the word, you have God enjoyed, God realized. This is the top enjoyment of your human life, of your Christian life, is to enjoy the God who's speaking. He is speaking to impart himself into you, to call something not being as being, so we can become genuine enjoyers of the Lord. And when we become genuine enjoyers of the Lord, we can't help but speak. And we speak this word into others, and we can continually call not being as being. This is why we're here. So I have a little burden related to this weekend. I really hope, brothers and sisters, as we get into these outlines, get into these messages, under the Lord speaking, is the Lord speaking to you? Has he spoken recently? Apart from God speaking, we do not have God. So maybe in your Christian experience, you do not have God. And that is not, you know, condemnation. But we should ask ourselves, is God speaking to me? If he's not speaking, why? Why is he not speaking? He's a speaking God. He is the word. He wants to speak. We don't want to be apart from his speaking. So this is a wonderful opportunity, brothers and sisters, to receive God speaking. God speaking to impart himself into us. To call something not being as being. So may we use this weekend for this. So I hope we could even memorize John 1:1-3, those first three verses. Practice to speak those verses to one another. Those are marvelous verses. Amen. Okay, I'll stop here.